Welcome back to the Black Techies Podcast, where black culture meets the world of technology. Unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, the beginning of the show was cut off, so we're going to jump right into the middle of it, where the crew is discussing criticism of movies and TV shows. Enjoy.
Tear stuff down. He's just like, it's everything that he engages with people online, everything is a complaint. He's like, oh, did you guys like the, I don't think it was dark enough, or like, I don't think it was too dark. They're like, what about the new Star Wars? Y'all like that? No, we hated it. Like, but you have a Star Wars tattoo on your forehead. I thought you would love everything. No, man, I hate it. I hate it. It's stupid. I don't like that they did it. He's just like, do y'all just not like, and Benicio del Toro said the same thing. He was like, man, I feel like everybody's just like hates things. And that's just, it is what it is. But somehow you guys are still watching it. Like, everybody's like, man, I hate them Tubi movies, but Tubi getting paid. Tyler Perry, same thing. They talking about that man dirty, but I bet his movie's going to be number one on Netflix by the end of the weekend.
Man, I am knocking the hustle. I think it's, again, it's one of those things where, you know, you get in where you fit in, you know, and the bottom line is that the way media is, and we get a chance to talk a lot about this in passing on other platforms between myself and Dave, in terms of the importance of technology and how it, you know, how it's impacted the landscape in terms of how we consume content. It's, you know, it's one of those things where, you don't really appreciate it until you sit down and examine it. And, you know, the HBCU space is a perfect example of that, where, you know, you've got multiple platforms, people that are really, that really want to engage, you know, in the content that's being absorbed. But, you know, powers that be, conferences, or what have you, have a real issue in terms of how to go about doing it. And it's, you know, we have this debate from time to time. There's a very heavy business aspect to it. At the same time, it's like, yo, bruh, you guys got to figure it out. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind. And I think, it's funny that we have platforms like the Black Techies or HBC Nightly or HBC Digital or any number of platforms out there that brings this type of content to people, that we have those questions, you know, and we shouldn't, you know. But, I mean, personally, if I'm talking about, you know, stuff like Marvel and comics and gaming, you know, I prefer to have my own platform and to be able to just rap about those things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's really, oh man, thanks Hazel. It's like, yeah, we evidently, you know, StreamYard cut us off for a second. But
I asked her, I was like, hey, yo, Lord. Who you are?
It's like, yo, see this is what I'm talking about, man. Tech support. Yeah. We can't get away from it. That's like,
listen,
get a manager's role. Say,
hey, to your point about having a space to talk about things, I think every group that I'm in, the Black Techies Collective, mainly, like the Planet Ijaban or whatever the acronym is, the Urban Anime Lounge, all these things, I found myself always leaving a All Lives Matter type situation to go into a Black Lives Matter club. Because I'll have to deal with toxic blurs that are always constantly complaining about Black girls didn't like them growing up, probably because they, you know, they didn't shower or whatever the case is, but that's not their problem.
Didn't shower.
You know, there's always going to be misogyny in whatever space that you're in. It's your job to digitally punch those guys in the face. Do your part.
That's cold blooded, Hazel. That's kind of messed up.
But you know, it's crazy how it works sometimes, get into guys. These things.
That's how it be sometimes, man.
That's how it is.
Our bad. So
we in here though.
We came back.
We back.
To be fair, I mean, we did start on time, which is entirely unblack of us, but
man, you know, like, look, man, look, let me tell y'all something. If y'all, anybody that's watched the Black Techies, sometimes we've had challenges, current people challenges in terms of starting the show on time. You know, our overlords at HBC Digital Network, shout out to Adam Powell and those guys. You know, they'd be like, yo, are y'all gonna start the show? Do y'all have all the feeds? Yeah, man. And it's, I mean,
I feel like it's just, it's probably because all the other podcasts that are talking about $200 dates and splitting household bills and what people bring to the table and alpha males and shit like that. I feel like maybe they're taking up too much podcast bandwidth and we don't have any good space for us good podcasts.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Hey, listen. My brother always told me, he was like, you got to be quiet if you can't fight.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
If you can, you are free to speak. And I know none of them little podcast bros got hands. I mean, based on their love life, they're using their hands on themselves. So, but,
man, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back to continue this conversation about the worth of certain types of podcasts in the HBCU space, in black podcast space, and what some that aren't. We'll be right back. And we are back. Yo, man. See, Roberto didn't open up a can of worms here, man. So we got to talk about this, bro. What do you guys think about the preponderance of the aforementioned niche of podcasts as it relates to black love, quote unquote, black relationships?
You mean the ones I don't listen to?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine. David's point. I feel like people just be saying stuff in hopes to go viral.
Well, I just, for me, it's like I've come to the point that it's more about, ultimately it boils down to this. It's about the belief of the American institutions that we believed in when we were younger. The fact that that's gone away because everybody has their own voice. And, you know, and it's funny because earlier today I posted a tweet saying, yeah, man, some of the folks who talk about politics and how they feel about the next upcoming election, some of the, particularly in our community, some of those folks are just talking just to talk. They don't necessarily know what the hell they're talking about, you know? And I called them, you know, they're pretty much Fred G. Sanford's favorite word. Shout out to Sanford and Son. And for those who never watched the show, Fred G. Sanford's favorite word was dummy.
Yeah.
I can't fix that. Like, ignorance is gonna, sometimes people want to be taught. Sometimes people just don't. I can't fix that. And I don't have time to fix that. Too many
talking about the We Hate Everything podcast. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. My only opinion about those podcasts is y'all say so much about what black women want, yet you don't talk to black women about what we want.
Man, before I start, I'm gonna put up my disclaimer.
I've got more opinions, but I do need to answer that one.
Yeah, I'm a Wesley, don't worry, I got yours queued up too after mine. I'll just say this, man. Whenever black folks have discussions about relationships and things of that nature, the thing that bothers me the most is that there's a level of accountability on both sides of the fence that rarely gets talked about. And you can't have conversations like that until you take a look at yourself, do an assessment of yourself as to, you know, what you like about yourself, what you don't like about yourself, what other people might like about you and vice versa, before you can really assess how you deal with situations and scenarios like that in a relationship, you know? And I say this personally as a guy that's been through a divorce, I think Dave can attest to that I've talked about this. Growing up, you know, everybody grows up at a different, you know, in different rates, you know. Everybody has to come to Jesus moment when it comes to growing up and maturing and really talking about and really understanding why, you know, how things are the way they are as it relates to their relationships. Before you can have conversations about that You know, it's, you know, and I think the folks that do the conversation, you know, things, they feel a part in our lives because the demand is there. You know what I'm saying? And Dave, yeah. See, that Dave is our illustrious emeritus founder. You know, the disclaimers were my deal, just to kind of protect us. They've migrated over to HBC Dave, Nightly.
Dave's like, I wasn't on the episode. I didn't say none of that. Yeah, saw the disclaimer.
Exactly. But I mean, I think the big thing about those things is that, you know, they're popular because there's a demand for it. And the demand is essentially, you know, people looking to other places outside of themselves for accountability, or to explain how, you know, how that process might go for other things. And I don't disagree with you, Leslie. You know, I think, you know, in some cases they are, but in some cases, some of these shows, man, you could just, you know, they're Basra. You know what I'm saying? It's just, some of them are, you know, you could just, you know, you could do it out.
I don't listen to them. Like, the thing is, I just don't have time.
You don't have time because of the TikTokification of all social media. Is that they'll, if we had, you know, a couple hundred thousand followers, they would take a snippet of what I said, and they'd be like, oh, he said he just want to fight people, and can't nobody fight him back, because that's all you need to then go, I'm gonna go watch the show, let me see what the rest of the show is, because that's what this is about.
It's kind of it's kind of like rap albums and R&B albums back in the day, right? You had the single, and back then you didn't have all the digitalization of everything, so you had the single. If the single was fire, you would go and check the album, and then the album would be trash. The only good song on there is the single.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, and you know, I really value Leslie's input on this as well, because I think a lot of times we have these conversations and we have them in a vacuum. You know, I think it's one of those things where we all have our own opinions on how some of these folks kind of deal with things or how they approach them. But, you know, it's always wise to have a balanced perspective. And this is one of those things, because, like I said, these types of shows and types of entities occupy a lot of our ecosystem. So it's always, you know, a good thing to be able to understand those things first, as opposed to, you know, not, you know. So this is the time where, you know, I think I got Leslie's disclaimer set up here. Hold up, let me find it here. There you go. The views of Leslie Moore, not necessarily views of the Black Techies on HBCU Digital Network. All right, I'll let you go. You know,
this is just the way these podcasts are set up. It's literally, we're watching the many iterations of Howard Stern. It's the shock jock era with a 5 second attention span. You're gonna find guys who are like, oh well, I want this, I want that, and I want the life my grandma, I want the kind of wife my grandmother is. She don't talk back, she don't disrespect. Let me clear this up for you. What you saw, that's what you saw. You saw your grandfather there. You want that same kind of commitment? Where's your daddy? If your mama and your daddy were not in the house at the same time, but you're expecting the relationship your grandparents had, guess what? Your mama had the advantage, your grandmother didn't. She could leave, and she made that choice. If you would have gave our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, the same kind of freedoms and information and just the leeway we gained, you'd have seen so many more broken homes. You wouldn't hear so much about my grandmother does this, she does that. She had no choice, bro. She had nowhere to go, and she had nothing else she could do.
The male part of your family,
she wasn't allowed to learn anything.
Yeah, look, man.
I'm just saying, look.
Let me tell you everybody on your family tree, they were nothing.
Dude,
your grandma was there because she couldn't.
If they had the opportunity to leave, they would have left. But he couldn't. drive away. She couldn't get an account. She couldn't get a license. She stayed because she had to. You cannot match what was in the past and what the technology, even in social media. You want a popular female. I'm a streamer. I haven't been able to stream as of late. But as a female streamer, I'm not going to sit there topless. I'm going to play games I actually like to play. I'm not going to be out here like, oh, look at me. I'm cute. I do this. I do that.
Now I got a pet peeve before Leslie finishes her thought. I got a pet peeve for folks out there that think gaming is some sort of detrimental type of thing, you know, for men to engage in. All of y'all can kick rocks.
Thank you.
To be quite honest with you. Y'all can kick rocks. I mean, I'm a guy that manages video games. Man, look, if you haven't figured this out already about men and women that engage in gaming, it's not just a coping mechanism. It's a way to blow off steam. It's another way to socialize, particularly for introverted people. Mm-hmm. Me personally, you know, I manage a team of IT folks, you know, on a daily basis. You guys have no idea how much stress that is. You have no idea. Well, Dave does. So does Leslie. You have no idea how much stress that is. Okay. When I get off of work or when I get off a remote of a meeting or something, I take a lunch break and I'm able to pick up the sticks and start throwing grenades at folks. That's therapeutic to me. You know, if I'm, you know, me and my brother Jason, who's also an avid gamer, okay, me and our family members get together at least once or twice a month, you know, and we frag out from Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? And it's a family thing. You know, we get in and do quads or trios or solos and Warzone, and we, you know, let it do what it do. You know, and it's a way for us to share, you know, things that we don't get a chance to talk about a whole lot. Now, that being said, there are situations where you've got folks that can't handle, you know, what gaming is, you know, and I want people to understand this. Where's my disclaimer again? I'm going back to disclaimer. The views of Herbert Seward are not necessarily views. Yeah, that. I want people to understand exactly what I'm talking about here. We're talking about a very extreme scenario where you got a guy that, or person, I don't want to say guy or a woman, it could be anybody, where gaming has become an addiction for them, meaning that it disrupts what they are supposed to be doing on a regular basis, you know, whether it's working, whether it's taking care of family or what have you. We're not talking about that. That is a completely extreme circumstance. We're talking about the types of relationships where, you know, brother comes in from work, sits down on the couch, had a long day, you know, sister ain't paying him no mind until he turns on the game. And you're just sitting there like,
from experience, look at his eyes. He had a flashback.
The timing is always fascinating to me. It's always fascinating.
Yeah, it's comical to me. You know,
Aaron, I was standing there the whole time and you was on your phone looking at Tiki Tocks. You, the way as soon as I pick up the sticks, then you got a problem.
It's one of those things where it's like, man, look.
Can't wait for him.
And we're not even talking about the actual timing. We're talking about you might be in the middle of a kill streak and she's popping. It's like, I need some attention.
First of all, hold on now.
What you want?
I've had to deal with that with boys.
See, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
It's people doing it.
It's people. Yeah, and I want to make this very clear. This is not this is not a man or a woman thing. This is this is a person thing. So
it's a gamer
thing.
It's literally a gamer thing.
Exactly. So, you know, I want people, you know, that are watching this podcast that might have some angst about this, you know, in the comments. This is not that. This is one of those things
I literally run with a squad of female gamers that'll whoop some ass in 2K, Madden, and Call of Duty.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. And I mean, like I said, I think folks out there can identify with that. And it's like, yeah, dude, look, that's therapeutic. I just say, like I said, to me, that's therapeutic. You know, I can't, you know, especially if I'm, you know, in a mood where I want to go play some FC24, for example, you know, getting prepped for the World Cup or the Olympics coming up this summer. You know, I sit down and playing, you know, and I meet people playing. So it's like, it's one of those things again, where, you know, if you're a gamer and you're an introvert and, you know, under ordinary circumstances, you might not like interacting with people. You know, I know for me, it helped me develop a lot of my social skills over the years. You know, there was a point in time, man, where I hated just being around people in general, you know, but, you know, it really helped me grow in terms of interacting with people and interacting with people socially. And this was over a long period of time. So, you know, those things like that are really, you know, it's very, very therapeutic, you know, and I want people that may not be gamers, that may not necessarily be a part of that community to really understand, you know, that it serves a therapy, it serves a genuine purpose for gamers when they game. So, you know. Yeah.
And I mean, and can we, I feel like there's just the stigma that's attached to it, because there's plenty more guys that have lost their family. And again, I'm just using men as this example because it's funnier to me. There's plenty of men that have lost their family because they won't get off the damn slot machine, or they won't stop betting on college football or whatever. Bro. I mean, hell, there's some athletes that won't stop betting. Kayshawn Booty, like, you messed it up, bro. You was good, and now you had to bet. But
I gotta drop that disclaimer, because, you know, I don't want that coming back to us, bro.
It's like Calvin Ridley too. We ain't gonna talk about you neither. But you gotta, like, there's a lot of things. Men on old sitcoms used to be like, I'm going fishing and I'll be back tomorrow. Like, oh, but honey, no, I'm going fishing. You have the kids. This is your job. I'm leaving. And guys used to be like, yeah, he's going fishing. He's going to go. And, you know, he'd be on a boat with drinking beer with his friends, and they wouldn't catch no fish, and they just come back home. And people were like, yeah, that's manly. Go outside. I'm a car guy, so I used to be outside. My ex can attest, I would be outside for hours changing stuff on my car, and my friends would come over, and we'd change stuff on their cars, and I'd be outside. And it was never like a, well, that's weird, you guys are just tinkering with a car, or you're sitting in a boat with a bunch of men drinking liquor. That's not awkward or anything at all. But you sit down and pick up some controllers and have some fun, and sit, it's all of a sudden, it's like, that's a waste of time. You're not doing nothing. Like, bro, fishing and not actually catching no fish is a waste of time. Being outside tinkering with your car that still doesn't run is a waste of time.
I'm not going to say that to my pops. I'm just not.
Please don't.
It's the same waste of time, because you don't find value in it. It's the same thing like when my brother will send me 45 memes, and I'm like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you know, just got a break at work, just looking at TikTok, sending memes out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's not a waste of time, because that's what most people do, death scroll, and they just kind of sit there and do. You will be on Apple iTunes pool or whatever it's called, because I don't have one of those things. You'd be on the little Apple 8-ball all day, and that's not weird, but playing Call of Duty with your friends, not for 10 hours at a time, but a grown man coming home from work, you know, having dinner, playing with the kids go to sleep, wife, you know, I'm about to go shower. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go play games, and you be on there for an hour or two. That's not immature. That's handling stuff. Now, if you skipping work and not taking no PTO and not showering and peeing in a Mountain Dew bottle because you don't want to get away from your console because you're playing Warhammer or whatever,
that's scary.
Skipping work is counterproductive.
Yeah, that's really scary. If you got PTO,
then yes, you're still getting paid to sit at home and play video games. That's not a problem.
My whole thing is I couldn't be that person, like, I come home from work, hypothetically, I come home for, suppose I'm with somebody, they're on the game, and I get home like 4. Boom. Hey, it's dinner time. Still in the game. All right, cool. Played off to the side. I go to bed. Still in the game. I wake up, you're in the same spot I left you in, and I'm about to go to work the next day. All right. That's a problem.
So yeah.
I got to say something at this point. I've been like many nights, I've been like, I've got stuff to do. I'm going to move around you, but now you're still here. I'm going to ask, did you at least get up? Did you stretch your legs? Did you cut it off? Has grass seen you? Not have you seen grass. Has grass seen you?
Right.
you starting to sprout, bro. You've been here for a couple of months. Like, I got to say something. But if I'll come home from work, hop on the game, because if I don't hop on the game, I'm going to hop on a person and be ready to hurt them. So, energy redirected.
I thought that sentence was going somewhere else. I was like,
sir.
Damn, do I have to continue playing these disclaimers again, man?
First of all, I instantly clarified. Sir. That's a whole different podcast and a whole different discussion. That could be somewhere else.
Man, look. I mean,
we're gonna go, that's the relationship podcast that we'll have.
See? That's the relationship. There's the topic right there.
I won't be on that one.
I don't blame you. Full disclosure, none of our podcasts at the Black Techies turn into quote unquote relationship podcasts.
Oh, no,
I can't fix relationships that I don't have.
Yeah, exactly, man. We ain't doing that.
But see, that's the beauty of it, is that neither do they. They're not.
I know I could probably walk in there and outdo them, but I just feel like, yeah.
Every man that's in a relationship knows that if they say that on TV and then, I mean, on the podcast and then go home, that's not going to be a good night for them. They're going to be like, yeah, and furthermore.
Home is where the hatred is. Home is filled with pain.
So I can't even go home. It's like,
yeah.
I left 3 days ago. I'm gone. No, can't go back.
Nope.
And it don't even be nothing. It don't even be nothing like normal. It'd be like women voters. Am I right? Like, when did this happen? And you're like,
It's like, are you good? You solid?
Like, who made you this way? Like, maybe we need to back up. Maybe we need to bring your therapist in. Just have on your Black Techie love.
Man, look. Man. Listen,
we have Love is Blind Black Techie Edition.
Man, speaking of tech love, man, I gotta grill my boy Dave on something, man, about his adventures in the fighting game realm.
Oh God.
His experiences. Let me tell you about something. I just recently got through playing in a FC24 tournament. And I did pretty well online. I think I finished about 5th or 6th out of about 30 people.
Not bad.
I was doing good until I started meeting some of that European competition board.
I want to get back into fighting games so bad, but one, I don't have the time, the patience, the sanity.
I would argue that's the perfect thing to get back to. Because, I mean, each match is like 3-4 minutes.
I know, but the way I got into, I grew up on Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Third Strike, the original Third Strike, 2, Tekken.
Evo's bringing back Third Strike for this year.
I'm a Tekken and a Killer Instinct guy. So,
well, of course, you're a Tekken guy, because they say Black people are predisposed to be good at Tekken.
First of all, I want to see this research.
I want to see it too.
Fun fact, bro, I never got into Tekken. This is like my first time, like, sitting down, getting serious at Tekken. Like, I'm trying to teach myself.
And how many matches did you win?
I'm doing all right. I mean, my loss is all right.
But I got third place in the tournament.
No. Is it tourney ready? No. It ain't tourney ready. But you know, I'm gonna head to Greensboro for a personal matter next week. So I am going to enter the tournament. One of my buddies down there, he has a big Greensboro fighting game community down there. So I'm going to enter. I'm going to enter Tekken 8, Guilty Gear, which I need to pick up.
Man, Guilty Gear is solid. Guilty Gear is solid.
First of all, who wants it in Guilty Gear? Because I'm looking for people who want it.
Before I volunteer for Guilty Gear, I got to get my skills up because I'm not.
The way they nerfed Melee hurt my heart because I played Axel Core and all. I played Melee through every iteration of Guilty Gear except this one.
Strive is good too. Strive is good. Online's good.
Strive is amazing, but I can't play Melee. Yeah. They nerfed the fuck
out. Nah, see, my brother Reynaldo.
I'm a pop player, so you can imagine what I do. Street Fighter.
So growing up playing him, I was just like, oh, I'm terrible at this. I definitely cannot ever win. Is Sonic running through the?
My bad. I have my notifications on when people pop onto the show, so it's man. So it's like, yeah, I had to turn. I forgot to turn the Do Not Disturb.
I'll say for real, like I grew up playing Street Fighter with my brother, and he used to like murder me all the time. Street Fighter versus X-Men, Marvel versus Capcom, Street Fighter Alpha, all that. And Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter, like Hyper, like all that stuff. We were playing since Sega, and he would beat me down.
Chaos.
And I'd play my friends too. And I'd murder them.
And they just added KR to switch online too. So
KR, the classic KR, not the remake.
When they gonna bring back Bloody Roar? That's what I want to play. I want to see that.
Ooh, that was nice. Yeah, I like Bloody Roar.
Boy, I mean, I'll probably still lose, but I'm gonna enjoy it. And you know, like
man. The crazy thing is that you know that age of fighting games was. I mean, there were so many really dope fight games out there during that time. Yeah, Bloody Roar. Yeah, games like Star Gladiator, which was really really good.
Oh, Star Gladiator was good.
Star Gladiator was good.
Power Stone.
Are you talking about Power Stone?
Power Stone
was my joint.
Yeah,
hell, Earthgeist was out.
And yeah. I played Soul Calibur religiously. I still play
Soul Calibur, man. You got certain fighting games that are timeless.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur is
one. Fighter and Total Number 1 and all that stuff which is coming out.
So tomorrow, there's going to be a Street Fighter 6 player that's going to go walk home with $1 million tomorrow.
Dave, I want you to repeat that, please.
Tomorrow, there's going to be somebody that's going to walk out with $1 million. And there's going to be somebody else that's going to walk out with $300,000 and be furious.
Now, for a reason why I wanted Dave to repeat that, and this is for you HBC administrators that still don't believe in the idea of having an esports program at your school. You guys know who you are. Think about that again, please.
$1 million.
Morehouse just got one.
Yeah.
This past year. So
A&T just opened up their room. They've had a team. Yeah. They had a team. I just sent some money to them. But they got their room now. While I'm down there, man, I'm gonna talk to some folks. My daughter does esports for Mario Kart. So she does her thing. She's in the esports club at her school.
Yeah. I wanna really give a big shout out to John Cash over at Johnson C. Smith because we did an interview with him a good while ago. Last year, I believe, regarding, you know, when, just after COVID was over with, and we were just talking about how big esports could be in the HBCU landscape. And it's awesome to see that conversation kind of come into fruition with all these programs and conferences. Shout out to the GCAC, who's created their own little ecosystem for esports as well. You know, the MEAC has done so, the SWAC has done so. So it's really, really good to see people embracing that. Now, if we can see more leadership embracing that, as in finding ways to monetize and to bring visibility to those things for people to watch and engage in, that would be dope. You know, to me, that's something that's way overdue.
To put it in perspective, so like this week has been the group stages of Capcom Cup X, which is the Street Fighter tournament where first place gets $1 million. Today they're doing the World Championship in the Street Fighter League, but the last 3 days prior to that, it was the group stages. There was about 13,000 to 15,000 people watching it throughout the day. Like every single time I popped on, it said 13,000, 14,000 people were viewing the matches. And it's been, them group stages have been intense. And now we're down to the final 16. And they're going to play it out for $1 million tomorrow.
And I mean, I want folks to really understand, and we've talked about this before on past shows. There is no thing to be able to integrate, you know, an esports tournament or competition or, you know, into the classic landscape of HBCU athletics. Doing, you know, I mean, you got a classic weekend, it'd be nothing to drop it, you know, drop an esports competition, you know, for Smash Brothers or for FIFA or for NBA 2K or for, you know, insert your fighting game here, you know what I'm saying? Or even for NCAA 25, which we're about to take our next commercial break. We're going to talk in depth about NCAA 25. You know, EA Sports has kind of dropped that. We're supposed to be seeing it this summer. You know, I got some, you know, I think me, Dave, I think everybody here has some commentary on that. But before we go to break, man, what's your favorite fighting game character, each one of you guys?
That's loaded.
That is very loaded. I mean, because I got characters for each game. So, like, I mean, I'll name a couple.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, whatever black character was in the game, that's the character I was like. As soon as DJ got put in Street Fighter,
bruh.
Man, come on now.
I just say my brand new one. I mean, obviously you had, you know, the black characters labeled along, but the newest one for me, Leroy Smith, Tekken. That's my boy. Whoever designed that character was in his bag when he designed it, because, you know, I mean, I felt seen when I saw that character, man.
I felt seen. The cosplays for that character, chef's kiss. They have been killing that cosplay. That's all.
Yeah, like, man. Man, crazy, man.
I go to the Steve Harvey store and stock up, bruh, and hit the Bruce Lee store, and then they put them two things together. Stop. And they got it.
That's tell it. You, man. With that being said, let us take our next break. When we come back, we're going to get into NCAA 25, y'all. We'll be right back. And we are back. Now, those of you guys have been, you know, perusing the interwebs over the last week, 2 weeks, and saw the preview of EA finally getting off of their duffs and getting ready to re-release, you know, what's been a staple, you know, the holy grail of college football games, you know, NCAA 25, supposed to be coming back this summer. Bro, me personally, I'm just really, really, I knew it. see, we got an LSU fan in there. Now,
here we go.
Now, while I'm excited for the fact that it's taken so long for EA to kind of, you know, be proactive in getting, you know, giving the college football gaming community what they want, what they need, I got some thoughts. And I think Dave kind of, you know, is kind of in the same mind about who should be included and who needs to be included in the game. And first and foremost, it's awesome to see those guys bring back the franchise the way they, you know, when they're doing so, with a lot of attention being on college football having NIL and a lot of these other things. But, well, Dave, I'm gonna let you take this one. I'm gonna let you start, because, you know, Dave has been on his self-imposed boycott of EA.
EA Sports.
And
20 years since I bought an EA game. I spent my money on one.
Yeah, and college football, you know, I mean, if college football does this right, they may actually force Dave to break his boycott, but they're going to have to do it right. And
I've been told that they're not going to do it right, so the boycott stands.
Now, for those of you guys in the audience wonder what the hell we're talking about, we're talking about the inclusion of FCS teams, in particular HBCU teams, in the game.
I want to play the Bayou Classic.
You're not going to get to play the Bayou Classic.
Yeah.
Well, then screw that game for me. Solid.
Nah, we need a Battle of the Bands mini game.
You're only going to get if it's Alabama versus Auburn. You're not going to get against the actual Battle of the Band.
And I think that brings up a really interesting conversation that needs to be had. And, you know, that has a lot to do with how people perceive our football traditions and our classics and the culture that goes around our football product outside of HBCU football. Because, you know, when we're talking about this, this is a microcosm of kind of what we've been talking about or what we hear on other platforms when we talk about this in terms of the optics, in terms of our perception of the HBCU football product. Now, me personally, you know, one of the funnest things that I had in previous versions of the game was to be able to build out an HBCU team, take it through Dynasty and franchise mode and win national championships and beat the brakes off of everybody and do it the hard way. You know,
the Maroon Tigers going all the way. We going undefeated.
Yeah. And I think the thing that bothers me the most about some of the things that we've heard, and, you know, again, until we see the game release and we see more details, I think in May we're supposed to be getting a full-fledged reveal in terms of what the game's going to entail, what teams are going to be included, what's going to be in DLC packs, how they're going to handle that. But the question is whether or not EA is going to be proactive here and not wait until folks, you know, are waving pitchforks and torches at their door to include certain people in the game.
I think the concern, I'm going to be honest, man, I think the bigger concern they have right now is how they're going to handle this NIL aspect of it, because I think that's where the pitchforks is going to come out. Mm-hmm. I've been clear. I said no HBCUs, no FCS, no bye. And from what, based on the details that has come out so far, that is currently not going to be the case. They're primarily just going to have the FBS programs. Delaware is not going to even make it, because technically Delaware doesn't turn FBS until 2025. I know they're mad, and I'm happy that they're mad. But either way,
So, now, inside joke, Dave is a North Carolina A&T guy. So being part of the CAA, you know, he's got some, you know, he's got some thoughts about the Delaware folks. I don't blame him, but yeah, I agree.
I live in Rhode Island, bro. So I just said, oh, this is just like living in Rhode Island, you know?
Yeah, that sucks.
You move into the neighborhood, everybody else leaves.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, pack your stuff, get riddance. It's been real, you know? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that does suck, black nerd swag. It does. And in terms of what we expect to see in the game. Now, I think, again, for me, the biggest thing, and I know folks have been blowing up EA on social media about this whole thing, not just, you know, HBCC. There you go. I mean, we already got programs making up their own covers, man. I saw the Alabama State cover. That was hot. But, you know, it would be very wise for EA to really listen, you know, to the people that buys their products, because yeah, I get it. You know, NIL may be a big part of this, but you would stand to make a lot more money being all inclusive.
Well, I think their argument, here's the dilemma. Everybody's not going to be me, because I've been on this ride for a while. So everybody's not going to be me. Folks who are HBCU grads are still going to cop that game and play with their favorite FBS school. And I'm not trying to beat y'all up over it, because that's your prerogative. You can do what you want. But the reality is, everybody's not going to be me. Because there's some things that some people protest, like when folks will protest the NFL. That ain't me. I'm going to watch for games. You know what I'm saying? Same concept here. Some folks, I feel a way about it, but I have layers of why I don't buy EA sports games. I have my layers about it, because it's NFL related too with regards to that. But
so we ain't even gonna get into Madden, man.
Yeah, nah. So that's a whole different discussion. So, but I say all that to say, like, people are gonna have to really scream and fight. But screaming and fighting ain't gonna do nothing, because all that does is help promote the game. Screaming and fighting is not paying for it. And the thing that and honestly, I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all. My beef is about the HBCUs not being on it, but it's also about the fact that they're not paying these kids enough money.
I agree.
In this game, all right. EA is worth $38 billion, and they're complaining about only paying less than $7 million to these players. They're only going to give $600 a kid in the game. Okay, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. They make more than enough. This game is going to sell millions. This game's going to sell millions.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you, man. I think how can I put this? EA has the opportunity to do right by the entire, the entire student representation of this of that sport, by just working something out in terms of a percentage or a portion that goes toward collective NIL. And I think, to me, man, it's a no-brainer. You know, there are a lot of ways you could go about doing it. It doesn't necessarily have to be individual. It could be per school. There's an NIL pot that, EA contributes to per player, per team, that's included in the game. You could do it via DLCs. You could do it as it relates to downloadable content, which are microtransactions that, everybody pays for.
That I don't like.
And I think the thing that bothers me the most about what we could see, and I think this is what's going to happen, as it relates to FCS and HBCU inclusion in the game, is that it's going to be a DLC, that it's going to be something that you got to purchase, which sucks, because to me, those teams still have to be, they're part of the college football landscape, just like the FBS teams are. So, those things.
It bothers me because I know it's not hard to do.
It's not.
It's not hard to do. And I don't want. I guess I didn't learn this originally. I guess in the latter games of NCAA football, they started doing FCS regional teams, like FCS Northeast. FCS East.
I used to hate that. I really did.
So lazy, man.
It was lazy as hell, man. I mean, it's just
lazy.
Yeah, and Black Nerd Swag, that's a good point, man. No royalties for the copies, by the way. Continues to likeness across merch. Yep, he's absolutely right. Those are things that got to be addressed. Look, man, let me tell y'all something. For the longest time, and I'm a college, folks that follow me outside of the tech ecosystem know I'm a college basketball fanatic, fan. I played the game a little bit, and college basketball was one of my favorite video games. 2K college basketball was arguably one of the best college basketball video games ever made, in my opinion, the best series. And for the longest time, I was mad as hell at Ed O'Bannon for screwing that up. I wanted to drop kick him in his face, but
he was right.
He was absolutely right. And I think the biggest thing, man, is that sometimes when we have to really take a step back to really understand some of the actual business consequences of some of these actions that people take. And NIL is one of those things. Compensation for students is one of those things. As gamers, sometimes we lose sight of that. It's one of those things where, unless you're an athlete and unless you're actually, having your likeness being capitalized off for millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you not seeing any of it, you don't get it. And I think this has repercussions Keith Cooper. You got them right. Ed was right. Yep, was right. and I mean, he was right. He was absolutely on the nail, because at the end of the day, folks, you got to really, I mean, you know, folks got to get compensated for the work they put in, whether they're college students, whether they're pros. And this is one thing about the esports realm that I'm really happy that the NCAA has absolutely nothing to do with.
Because it stays that way.
I want it to stay that way, because it's one of those things where, particularly for HBCUs, it's a brand new frontier with a load of potential in terms of bringing revenue and visibility to schools, to institutions, not just in terms of gaming, but in terms of STEM, in terms of, you know, sports business programs, esports business. You know, the esports industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's a global industry. That's something that we don't hear a whole lot about, but you go overseas and you hit an Evo circuit, you go to Japan or Korea or any number of places, you know, you got kids that are making six figures before they even get out of school. You know, you got kids getting, you know, endorsement deals and multi-million dollar contracts before they get out of school.
Yeah. I mean, because even Angel Reese was like, why would I go to the WNBA and I'm getting paid more to be here? Mm-hmm. She getting paid six figures to be a college star, and she go to the WNBA and might get $400,000.
Exactly.
So, like, why would I take a pay cut to go to the next level if I'm getting what I'm supposed to be getting?
That's going to happen to a lot of kids, even in just regular in football, too, and basketball. Yeah. A lot of those kids ain't going to make it to the league.
Yeah.
They might be in college and call it a life.
Yeah. And
so that's the league and not be that dude.
Yeah. And that's exactly why this is important, because, I mean, I want you guys to really think about this, too. Platforms like, you know, like college football, FC24. I mean, if there was an audience for it, you could see college, you know, versions of those games, of, you know, a college version of soccer. At least for the revenue games, you know, you're not. I don't think we're going to see a college lacrosse game anytime soon, because I just don't think it's too niche just, you know, for right now. But I think the biggest thing for us is being able to really support these kids and getting a slice of that pie, because they deserve it. You know what I'm saying? So, I just hope that EA takes the long view of what this could possibly mean, and, you know, compensates students and institutions the right way. You know, and like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, we're not talking about, you know, each individual kid getting like $1 million contract. That's unsustainable.
The average athlete right now, I believe, only gets $1,100 a year from NIL.
Yeah.
So, like, they couldn't even hit that. That's what annoyed me more than anything else. Like, you couldn't even hit the average. You're a $38 billion company. You couldn't even hit the average that these kids get?
Yeah. And
you know how that's going to be the same thing, like, when people are like, hey, I support the minimum wage being pushed to $10, to $15, so people can have a livable wage. And everybody's like, oh, so you want us to have $45 hamburgers? No,
I'll eat your burgers anyway, McDonald's.
The same way
you are eating some truffle hamburgers or something.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the same. This is the same BS argument that they're going to put into this game. They're going to be like, well, if you want to pay these kids $1,100 each a year that the game is out, cool. But now the game's going to have to be $300 because I'm not paying for that. You're like,
no, but you work the $38 billion company. Just remember,
y'all are making the money. But
the reason,
it's the other people who are middle class or lower are going to be the main ones arguing to tell you, no, these kids don't need that money. Like, I want to play the game, and I want $50 to play the game, and you can't make these billionaires that's not fair to them. And you like, bro,
all I know is my protest with EA Sports started because NFL 2K5 said we're gonna drop this price to $20. And EA said, nah, we're gonna buy this NFL license so you can't make this game no more.
Yeah, that was real petty.
And so at that point, I'm like, in that case, I ain't gonna buy this game no more because y'all just ran away from competition. They tried to do the same thing with the NBA, and the NBA told them no. And then NBA Live died in a couple of years. They couldn't compete.
Yep, this is true. And I think, I think there's ultimately that's the potential pitfall of this all is greed.
Let me just jump in real quick to say that I just researched like players. Who play in Madden, they don't receive direct compensation for their inclusion in the game. It's the NFLPA.
Yes, NFL Players Association. But there's no union.
Yeah, but they also get it as of 2019, they were getting $17,000 for being in Madden, for having their likeness being in Madden. And EA is like, well, we'll give 11,000 college football players $600.
$600.
Yeah, trickle down economics, my ass. Yeah,
6.6 million dollars is what the math was. I think it was how much they would pay those players if they all agree. That's the key too. They all have to agree, and they got to sign off.
Yeah, but you see, if I'm Jaden Daniels, I know that I'm worth more money than one of them backups on Alabama. I don't know one of them kids. What
but
them
all
do?
Players matter. You want so they all get the company, same. But they all get the same. But then again, Jalen Daniels won his name in that game.
Yeah.
And he wants his nil in that game.
Yeah. And if you're saying, because like no one's playing that game to play the third backup tackle from Washington, don't nobody care about that fat boy. They're not gonna play for him.
But you gotta pay him because
they want to play as the top people. They want to play as the Heisman athletes. They want to play as the household names from their school, which rotate every couple of years, of course. But, you know, when you buy NCAA 25, you're going to hope that all the players from Alabama and UCF and Florida and everybody else that complained about not being in the finals, you want to hope that all those rosters are complete.
Oh, they'll be complete. You know, No, they'll be complete.
They're going to be, you know, player number 25.
Just be like it was before. It'll be complete. Don't worry. Even Tecmo
Let's go Bowl, number 72.
Even Tecmo Bowl had quarterbacks who were not in it.
Yeah.
There was Bills. The quarterback was Bills. We all knew it was Jim Kelly.
Bills.
That's the argument is that, like, do you hold out to get – more than your 600, because I know a lot of kids are probably like, look, I'm probably not going to get nothing else. Like, the $600 sounds like a good idea to me. As just the random walk-on, I'm about to get $600? Man, let me get that. But then you got other people that are like, yeah, they do.
Yeah,
you got the other kids that are like, nah, I don't need it because I have, you know, I got an NIL with Mercedes. Or I got an NIL with Beats, so yeah. I don't need that $600, so I don't want it. And you're like, it's like LeBron with the play-in tournament. He was like, they were like, well, LeBron, do you really need $200,000 or however much it was? And he was like, hell yeah. I'm a billionaire, but I still want that $250, and I'm getting it for the young guys on the team. I want these young guys to get paid.
Yeah, you know,
everybody have that mentality.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point too, man. I think also – when we talk about, you know, the potential for games like this, and we talk about it from, you know, an HBCU lens, for example, I mean, could you guys imagine, an NCAA 25 tournament or circuit, you know, that's integrated, that goes along during the football season, you know, that's integrated in classics, like a Magic City Classic or Bayou Classic or Aggie Eagle, you know, I mean, think about that. We already know about the culture. You know, the culture is one of a kind, you know. So, and it's to me, it's a no-brainer. It's one of those things where you know, you're not going to see anything else that has the potential to be able to maximize those things. Plus, on top of that, man, you know, when we talk about doing games like that, whether it's NBA 2K or NCAA 25 or even Madden, even though Madden's been kind of trash, you know, off and on for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Decade.
There you go.
Or two.
Well, yeah.
Let me shut up.
Yeah, see. I don't have a banner for Dave yet. I don't have a banner. A disclaimer.
Everyone needs
Dave.
A banner.
Yeah, see,
everybody might need a banner, but.
Do I have to make a banner? See, now I have to make banners for guests, man. And that's,
yes, you do. The guests of the Black Chat, they're opinions. Yes. The guests.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I got to dip. It's been fun. I can't wait for next time.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a last commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about some movies and shows, including Avatar. And I think
I'm going to have to dip as well. I just know what time. Yeah, I got to bounce as well.
I
got to
dip.
So this is a good time for the commercial break. But I appreciate the invite. This was fun. I got my little got off on my NCAA and my EA boycott.
You said it with your chest, and I appreciate it.
Well, Roberto, it looks like we're going to be doing solo to close the show, and you'll get to grind your gears segment to yourself.
My wife ain't yelled at me from across the house yet, so.
All right.
I mean, that's a good sign. See, I can't relate to that anymore.
See, that's just straight comedy. On that note, we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. And we're going to close the show talking about some fun stuff that's going to be coming on television, hitting the movie theaters. Hey,
real quick, because Jeffrey said something. About my t-shirt that he designed and drew and everything, like, and I was pressuring him to actually make the t-shirt so I can actually buy them, because he always does sketches. That's JPNT17 or Jeffrey Taylor. He's selling these shirts. He's selling a lot of merch, and I'll link his store at the Black Techie Collective. But JPNT17, that's my boy. He does good stuff.
Yeah, and on that note, man, I want people to understand that if you hit Facebook and hit up the Black Techie Collective, we're normally in there on a daily basis. If you're, you know, if you're a graphic designer, if you do hustles like t-shirts, stuff like that, that, you know, that showcase blur culture, that showcase, you know, HBCU culture or anything else in between, hit us up, because more often than not, you post in there, it's going to end up on the show anyway. So, yeah, hit us up. If you got a business, if you've got anything like that, you know, we are friendly to that hustle. So when you do, man, just, yeah, we got you. Now, on that note, Roberto, I'm gonna let you close this out, man. And we're going to close this conversation out talking about Avatar.
Man, let me tell you, first of all, let me explain to y'all something before y'all like, well, I mean, I don't know if I could trust his opinion. First things first, I watch Avatar, The Last Airbender, not that James Cameron shit. I watch Avatar, the real Avatar. I watch that.
Wait a minute. I got to get the banner.
I watch it at least once a year. At least. Like, that's my junk. Like, I will watch that all the time because it is a fantastic show. It's real life stuff. Even though it's a 12-year-old trying to decide how he's going to be able to save the world and stuff. Legend of Korra 2, please stop hating on Korra. She's complicated. You know, she had a much harder set of villains. That's a whole other thing. But I watched that. I mean, that's a religiously watched show. And I watch it once a year at least. I watch it with my son. I've been watching it with my son's about to be 13. I've been watching with him since he was a kid. That show's 19 years old at this point. So I watch it. I'm in there like the Cabbage Man. I'm part of it. Okay. So I want to say that first. I watched the first three episodes of this, four episodes actually, of so I'm halfway through the live action Netflix Avatar series. That shit is good. Y'all shut up. Hell up. Okay. Because what I'm tired of is people like, oh my God, I can't believe they let Aang fly in the first episode. He was not flying. He was doing the same shit that Buzz Lightyear was doing. He was falling with style, except he actually has wind power. And also, the avatars before him actually used to float around with tornadoes under their feet. So it's the same thing. And we even see in Korra, where they show the original airbenders, they're using wind to jump off of pockets of air to fly and pick fruit and stuff. So it's not, they're not off the mark, okay? Aang is less goofy than he is in the cartoon, because it's 8 episodes, so they can't allow him to have a whole arc of the 4 seasons of Avatar that they have on the cartoon. So let's stop that. Katara and Grand, their acting is less than desirable, but it's not the worst thing I've seen, okay? Please, y'all, stop. Y'all watch Tubi movies avidly. Please stop. And stop acting like everything you watch is a goddamn Oscar-nominated movie, okay? Stop.
Man, Tubi has become the EBT of Black culture television, for real.
Yeah, it has. And again, Katara is a better actress than Tyler Perry is, okay? And wow. She looks better in a dress. Stop. They're like, I can't even get past the acting. Yes, you can. Shut up.
Okay. Man,
Zuko is good. Iroh has been good. Like, even they were like, oh, I don't like Azula because she seems too innocent and little to be evil Azula. Like, that's the thing. Azula was like 14 murdering people with lightning bolts. That's terrifying. If you make her look like a woman, if you get a 25-year-old woman to pretend like she's 14, it's much less terrifying.
I ain't gonna lie, that whole concept, even during the regular show, was kind of terrifying to me. That's some really psychopathic type shit right there.
Yeah. So. She was terrifying to me because not only was she like, she was watching Zuko get his face burned by his pops, she was smirking while it happened.
That was hardcore, for real.
Take that, Zuzu.
Yeah.
She didn't like, I mean, for your own, again, as kids grow, I'm the last of 7 kids. So watching other people get whipped, it's kind of funny. It's a little funny. But at no point did somebody be like, all right, go put that poker in the fire. I'm about to stab you in the face with it. I probably would have been like, hey, Ma, you want to chill out? Dad, y'all ain't going to reconsider? No, Azula was laughing at it. So she's, anyway, man. The show is good. Okay? The show is good. Is it great? Is it the best show I've ever seen in my life? And is it going to make me stop watching the regular animated series from Nickelodeon? No, because that's a masterpiece. And I don't care if you like, well, it's not anime. I don't care. It is or it isn't. It's very anime-esque. I love it. The show is amazing. The animated version of the show is brilliant. And trying to do a live action anything is hard. The live action One Piece is good. It's good as hell. Is it as good as the anime? No, because there's 10 trillion episodes of it. You know, it's very hard to try and condense that into 10 episodes or 400. Even if they made 500 live action shows, they would have to cut out stuff or add stuff to make it make more sense for live action world. So cut it some slack, man. And y'all like to hate shit for no reason. Like, it is good. Go watch it. If you've never watched Avatar before, this is the perfect time to watch it. If you've watched Avatar every year like I have and rewatched it because it's fantastic to you, then watch it. Is there things that they have changed? Yes. Did they take some liberties with some things? Yes. Did they actually show people getting their faces melted off by the Fire Nation, which they did not show in the animated version? Yes. And also Avatar Kyoshi, the baddest bitch in the world. She is in there and she in there smacking people. So, like, I don't understand. They were like, oh, I don't like it. It doesn't follow the source material. It is as close to the source material as I think I would expect a live-action reproduction of something to get. It is not a, like, one-for-one, bar-for-bar remake. It's a remix. So, if you're going to watch it because you're expecting to see a frame-for-frame reshoot, don't. It is not as bad as that time that they went and saw the stage production of them from the what you call it guild. I can't remember what you call it. The players that they saw redo it. Does Sokka look a little weird? Yeah, but I'll get over it. I don't think that things are not meant to appease just you. And I think the developer studio, I think it's Arrowhead Studios that does Helldivers 2, which I can't wait to buy and play.
Yeah, for real. Helldivers looks like
motto, dude, their motto on their social media is a game for everyone is a game for no one. And I feel like that's the same thing that I could say about Avatar. If they made this to where everybody was going to be happy, it would have sucked.
It would really suck.
Somebody's going to have to be disappointed. Oh, Sokka's not a weird, like, women hating, immature, man baby guy. And I'm like, he really wasn't that bad in the show, but he also was like 17 and got put in charge of a whole tribe because his dad left and his mom died. And if you haven't watched Avatar before, then you'll find out from Katara several times that her mother died.
Yeah, man, I think you're spot on with that. I know there are some other things that are dropping at the beginning of the month, or at the end of February, beginning of March. I'm looking forward to the second part of Dune. To be quite honest with you, those of you guys that aren't familiar with the story of Dune, to me, it's one of the best sci-fi soap operas that's ever been produced. If you watch the original, you need to really watch the original to really get context to what the remake is and what you're looking at. Because there are a lot of modern components that have been added to the remake, the first part and the second part. The second part's happening on March the 1st. And I think one of the things that we kind of run into anytime we see remakes, particularly when it comes to anime or sci-fi type things, that, you know, there's a nostalgia that comes with the original that is always kind of hard to deal with when it comes to Die Hard. Yeah, you can't fight it, you know. As an anime guy, I felt the same way about Star Blazers or Space Battleship Yamato, for example. Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows about that series, it's a classic. It's one of the best anime shows ever made, you know. And that was something that was one of the first anime shows that graced American shores. And your boy was, you know, in the 80s, you know, coming home, you know, eating a bowl of Cocoa Puffs and watching, you know, battleships fly in space for an entire year. So, yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you have to take the nostalgia of some of these series that you see kind of reframe the lens that you're looking at it in when you look at it now.
Because, again, Cowboy Bebop, another thing that I watch religiously and I love so much. And Cowboy Bebop really has like a very like special place to me that I used to like, couldn't sleep, and I would be up at 2 a.m. watching Bebop on Toonami or Anna Midnight, whichever one you want to call it. And I just love that, man, the jazz, the cool way that they did it. I really felt like this is for, I'm like about to be an adult. I'm like 19, 20. This is for me. Like, this is not quite for kids, but not quite. I'm sure an adult watching this probably wouldn't enjoy. And of course, as a nearly 40-year-old man, I'm still watching it and I'm still loving it. But watching the changes that they made to Cowboy Bebop, the live action, I was like, okay, I can see why people don't like this, but it's still entertaining. Like, if I took away the part of me that was an angry fanboy about things and sat there and watched it, I would enjoy it. You know, like, I would enjoy it more. And I think that's what I had to do when I watched it, but I still don't think it was bad. Now, watching Avatar, I was happy immediately from watching it because it gave me that same feeling. And Cowboy Bebop did not give me that, like, oh man, this feels like Cowboy Bebop. This was like, oh, this is like in the same vein of it, but it's not giving me that same feeling. And it's like mood and, you know, you kids with your vibes and whatnot. It gives me that vibe and I'm happy with it. And I'm probably going to try and see if I can trick my wife into watching it, because she watched like 4 episodes of the One Piece live action. And she was like, oh, is this that stupid cartoon pirate thing you'd be watching? And I'm like, yeah.
Just like, oh, stupid cartoon pirate thing.
And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you've been watching it for so long. I said, because I'm on episode 597 or something. So, yes, you've been seeing me watch it here and there. But I just think we got to – sometimes we have to – we're spoiled at this point. I think so much so that we're watching things with the lens of, this isn't what I thought it was going to be in my head. Because yeah. I've seen people say that Avatar – oh my God, maybe we need to rethink our harshness to M. Night Shyamalan, because I watched the first episode of it and it's complete. It's worse than the movie.
Yeah. First of all, I don't lend a lot of credence to that. And I think, again, a lot of the things that we see, from, you know, peanut gallery, when it comes to shows like this, you know, you just got to take it with a grain of salt, because I think that's more of a indictment of, you know, a certain aspect of the culture that, you know, grew up on certain shows and how already have a certain worldview when it comes to it.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, we've come to the end of our comeback episode of the Black Techies podcast. For myself, for my boy Roberto, for my girl Leslie Moore, for our host, founder emeritus David Matthews, and for my boy Dave, thank you guys for tuning in. And we will be back producing content. Look for the podcast as well as written content on the Black Techies Podcast website. And if you can, join us on the Patreon, you know, support us on the Patreon, join us on our YouTube channel. Check us out on HBC Digital. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't forget the Facebook group, the Black Techie Collective, where you can see me post a lot of random Black nerdy shit every day.
Random. Riddle random. but yeah, the Black Techie Collective particularly, man, if you want to get insight, you know, and get inside access to some of the stuff that we, you know, we try to expose people to, join the collective. It's been around for a minute. We've got a pretty good following. Until next time, stay tuned for, you know, we back. So we're gonna be trying to put out as much content. Yes, sir. In the words of Strong Bro, you know, get the word out that we back up. So, you know, in that vein, until next time, for everybody, thank you guys. Hail Wakanda. Hail Wakanda. Peace out.